Well, good morning, everyone. I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas. I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I celebrate recovery from my addiction to alcohol and drugs. I still struggle with self-worth, anger, anxiety, and my name is Mike. I introduced myself this morning because there might be some people that are here this morning that might not know who I am. I'm the pastor of Celebrate Recovery. That's our 12-step Christian recovery program that we have here at Essential Church. And so we say to ourselves, why broken people? Why did I choose that topic? Well, Pastor Steve asked me about a month ago if I wanted to preach tonight, and of course I said yes right away. And that gave me a month to let things go around in my brain, go around in my head, and circle around. And you ever had to do a presentation and you had some time to prepare for it, or you had to have a tough conversation with somebody, or even in my instance, you had to go in front of a judge? And you had to have tough conversations, and you had to prepare for that. And you sit there and you play it out. So when I'm driving, I'm actually saying what I'm going to say here this morning. Every time I get in the car, though, it's something different. And then I go, well, I didn't remember what I said last time. That sounded pretty good. I don't know if I like this one or not. I'll get in the car. I'll do it again. And to be honest, I wasn't going to say none of this morning. Kind of where God just led me this morning. So that's where I'm at with this. Just to tell you a little bit about me, I'm an ex-felon, or still a felon, but I say ex because that was the old me. I lied, I cheated, I stole, I hurt people, I took people's money. I did a lot of bad things in my life. Have you ever sat back and said to yourself, why would God use me? What have I done in my life for God to ever use somebody like me? What do I have to offer people? What can I help somebody with? And it took me a long time before I could actually answer that question. And you might be sitting here this morning saying the same thing to yourself. Have you ever got a phone call and somebody trusts you enough to say, hey, can you just sit and listen? I need to get something off my chest. And then when you're done, you might pray with them. You might say, you know, thanks for calling me. I hope you got everything out that you needed to get out. That's doing God's work. God orchestrated that. That shows you right there, no matter what you've done in your life, somebody trusts you enough to put their life in your hands. That's what God wants when he wants broken people to serve his ministry. That's what he's looking for. I remember when Steve first hired me, I don't know, about 9 years ago. To be honest, I didn't think he really knew me. Because me and my wife Kay started at the Satellite Church over at Prince Anne High School. Anybody remember the Satellite Church? Hey, we got a few in here. Yeah, so we started over there, and then when they converged back over here, I don't know, it was Super Bowl night, February, I don't know how many months after we came back over here, but he called me in the office and offered me a position on staff here. And this literally came out of my mouth. Do you know anything about me? Do you know anything about my background? He said, I don't care. I don't know what convinced him to come hire me. I don't know what convinced him. I don't know who told him about me. Like I said, I don't think he knew me. I knew he didn't know my name because, you know, we're a mega church. After 150 people, you know, the pastors start forgetting your name. So, but he called me. And then I look at the time that I've spent here. And this is literally the truth. I wanted to be the last one in and the first one out every Sunday morning. The last one in, the first one out. I didn't care about serving. I didn't care about small groups. I didn't want to stay after and help tear down and clean up. Don't call me early to set up. I don't want to do that either. I want to come, get a little worship, get a little Jesus in my life, say I did it, check the box, go home. And then for the rest of the week, my walk didn't match my talk. For the rest of the week, I didn't show my heart for Jesus. I didn't show Jesus' heart through me. Then one day we had to start a small group at my house. Let me tell you why we started a small group at my house. Because we joined a small group, but we found every excuse not to go. Anybody been there? Find every excuse not to go. Well, if you have it at your house, you got to be there. I mean, I guess I could unlock my door and invite everybody in and say, come on in, you can have a small group here. That was my first real taste of serving. Now, I only had Jesus in my life for about 5 or 6 years then. I didn't know a whole lot about him. Didn't know a whole lot about the Bible. All I know is I needed him in my life for me to continue to do what I do, and that was to stay sober. For me to continue to stay sober, I had to have Jesus in my life. And one small group, God laid on my heart to start Celebrate Recovery. So some years later, we go to Pastor Steve, we start Celebrate Recovery. We've been doing it 8 years now here at Essential Church. Thank you. Yes, you can clap for that. It's great. And the purpose for us doing that is not only to give you a safe place to come in and work on whatever you're struggling with, but I still got struggles too. I still need help. I'm still broken. If I'm going to continue to do God's work, I need to continue to work on me. We don't ever really get fixed. We don't allow perfect people in on Wednesday night. I take that back. We will let them in. They will leave not perfect. Okay? They'll show up perfect. They will leave not perfect. Trust me. I hope there's no perfect people in here this morning, because I really think you need to hear this, because God one day is going to want to use you, and you need to know that you're in the right place to be able to do what he's asked you to do. The video, Carpenter's Prayer, I've seen the movie a few times, and I couldn't find which clip I wanted to pull out of it, so I just played the trailer just to give you the gist of the entire movie. But it's a small town in northern Michigan somewhere, I don't know, 2,000-3,000 people in the town. And 20-some years before 1972, so somewhere in the 50s, one of their churches burnt down. And so they got these other four churches, all four different denominations, and they hired this pastor who's really green, and he's given the task of bringing all four churches together in one church and then raise enough money to build a new church. And he worked on it, worked on it, worked on it, and struggled with it, struggled with it, struggled with it. I won't give you the ending to the movie just in case you decide you want to go watch it. But I'm assuming back then they didn't have a lot of big construction companies. And in a small town like that, they probably didn't have the money to hire somebody to do it anyway. So the people of the church had to serve. The people of the church had to help build. And their carpenter has a heart attack. And the pastor had already taken in this gentleman named Glenn that was a drunk and knew that he did carpenter work and went to the board and said, this is who I want to build this church. And they laughed at him. They said, there's no way we're going to let a drunk build this church. Why not? He's just like each and every one of us. He's just got a different hurt, habit, and hang-up. We all have them. We all have something that we struggle with. His was just alcohol. And the whole thing about serving is when you serve and you're able to do something for the church, it helps you recover from whatever you're dealing with. It's just a fact. So they were able to let him start building the church. And like I said, I'll leave it there because I don't want to ruin the ending. But that church still stands today. and still operates. Three things that I want you to take away this morning is, the first one is, God is not hindered by your past failures. God's not hindered by your past failures. No one person or story is exempt. If you have the heart for God, He will use you. When I first came and celebrated recovery, I thought I had the worst story in the world. Now, let me tell you, I did some bad things. But I come to find out my story is not the worst story. My story is just a different story. Everybody's got one. Everybody's got a different story. One's no worse than the other. We all need the same help. And if you have a heart for Jesus, He will use you. I'm living proof of that. If you have a heart for Jesus, He will use you. Second thing I want you to take away from is God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary stuff. It's never about us, but always about God. Now, before I read this scripture, I just want to give a clarity on a word that I'm going to use a few times today, and that word is boast. It has two different meanings in the Bible. The first one is, I'm a perfect person. I do great things. I'm going to pat myself on the back, and I'm going to tell you about it. That's bragging. That's being conceited. Then there's the broken person who says, I've recovered from drugs and alcohol. I still struggle with anger. I still struggle with anxiety, but I'm helping people. People call me. They let me sponsor them. They let me do this. They let me do that. And guess what? I'm telling you this because I'm telling you how great my God is. I'm telling you how God is using me for this. So one's being conceited, one's letting you know all the glory goes to God. 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 29 says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so no one may boast before Him. He took away all the perfectness. Took it all away. So I'll say like I did in the first service, if you're in here this morning and you think you're perfect, just please sit quietly. This will be over here shortly, and then you can go on home. You don't have to listen to me. Just tune me out. The third thing I want you to remember when you leave this morning is God desires a willing man. Sometimes we disqualify ourselves before we even start. How many times have I done that? How many times have you done that? Somebody asked you to do something, I can't do it. I can't do it. No, that ain't for me. All of us are called to use our gifts for God. Once again, it goes back to, does your heart want what God wants? The heart has to be in the right place. I could never run Celebrate Recovery if I made it all about me. And to this day, I have conversations with my wife all the time. Am I doing what I really want to be doing? Do I really want to do this? And then we hear a testimony on a Wednesday night. Somebody stands up here who's completed the 12-step program, and they open up their heart, and they tell you all the things that happened in their life. Pornography, abused as a child, sexually, drugs, alcohol, anger, depression, suicide. They share it all because they can, because they got a heart for God. And God needs that message to get out from one broken person to the next. I do not need somebody to come up here and say, well, I got a great family. I got a great job. Yeah, I drink leisurely. It's okay. Yeah, I yell at my kids every now and then, but hey, don't worry about it. All kids get yelled at. And tell that kind of story. That person can do nothing for nobody. I'm sorry. They just can't. Once again, you gotta have the heart of Jesus. You gotta want what God wants. So as we go throughout the Bible, God uses broken people to relay his message all through the Bible. We see broken people all the time in there. And the purpose behind this is to demonstrate his grace, bring hope to others through shared experiences and accomplishment, his purposes through a willing heart rather than perfection. Once again, that's all God wants. All God wants for you to do is to show somebody else what you've been through and how he has helped you get there. Because it is all about him. He is the only perfect one. So I'll give you a few examples of God's broken army. And the Bible doesn't wait around to start showing this when they use Adam and Eve as the first two broken people. Adam and Eve's disobedience to God introduced sin. So anybody in here that's sinning, you can blame Adam and Eve for it. Because Adam and Eve sinned first. It's their fault that we all sin. Wish I could tell them. And that disobedience would fracture their perfect relationship with God, with each other, and nature. That one sin right there let the world know as we're going to go on that there are going to be no perfect people, that you're going to sin, that you're going to need Jesus. He doesn't want any perfect relationships. He just wants a relationship. That's all he wants, just the relationship. We look at Moses. He was a murderer and had a speech impediment. He eventually led the Israelites out of Egypt. David was an adulterer and a murderer. He established God's kingdom. Peter denied Jesus 3 times before he became leader of one of the churches. Let me ask you something. Why do you think God wants to use somebody that just continuously wants to deny him? Because he's trying to get his heart back to where it needs to be. That's what I truly believe. I denied God for 38 years. But he never stopped putting... I'll say this. I started drinking and drugging when I was 13 years old. I would wake up in ditches. I would wake up in the middle of the street. I would wake up in hospitals. I wouldn't know how I got there. I would drive intoxicated. Don't know how I didn't wreck. Don't know how I didn't kill anybody. I would walk across streets drunk. Didn't know how I didn't get hit by a car. I would do all these things all through my life. And every time something happened, God gave me a way to follow him. And I never chose it. Never, not once. Until he forced me to follow him. And when he put me in prison, that's when he forced me to follow him. Now, I'll tell you, 80% of the people in prison don't care that they're there, don't care if they go back, don't care what happens to them. I needed to find those other 20% because I didn't want to be that person. I still had no idea who Jesus was. I found him in prison, and that's when I was able to come out of prison and continue to worship him and go to church. But it took a while before I got to where I am now. Rahab was a prostitute who helped the spies before becoming a part of Jesus' lineage. Noah was a drunk but saved the world. And the best one of all, Paul, a violent persecutor of Christians that became the greatest missionary of the Gentiles. We'll talk about Paul and Acts in just a little bit. But The heading is, Why Broken People? We gave you all the reasons why people are actually broken, but why does God really want to use them? What is his purpose for that? And the first one is to display his power and weakness. A central biblical theme is that God's power is made perfect in someone's weakness. When flawed individuals accomplish great things, the success cannot be attributed to the human strength or the capability, ensuring God receives all the glory and all the praise. I don't tell everybody my life story to pat myself on the back. I tell it to give God all the praise and all the glory, because I hope one day somebody will hear it and they will be in the same position that I'm in, and then they decide that they want to make that same calling or that same move. About a year before COVID, we were out on the patio, and this young lady who had come to CR a few times had come up to me, and she said, Mike, can I have a conversation with you real quick? And I said, sure. And she said, I want what you got. Now, this was a time when I was about 14 years clean. She said, we had done CR for about 4 years. She said, I want what you got. I said, you can absolutely have it, but you have to work for it. You have to show God's heart in you. You have to be willing to do the long stuff. You have to be willing to put in the extra effort. That's what God wants to see. God just doesn't want to give it to you. If he did that, he'd fix all of us. Here, you get a freebie, you get a freebie, you get a freebie. Whatever your sin is today, you get a freebie. He needs to make the time difficult for you to get to a place like that. The next one is, brokenness fosters humility and dependence. Recognizing one's own limitations and failures leads to humility, which in turn encourages a deeper reliance on God. People who acknowledge they cannot help themselves are more likely to call on him, creating a strong, dependent relationship where God can do the work. Humility. You'll hear that quite often. Knowing what my limitations and my failures were humbled me. It didn't when I was doing it, but when I decided to stop doing it, it humbled me. I never got more humbled than one night my wife and I went to a football game, and we're sitting up on a Monday night. We're sitting up in the nosebleed section, just relaxing, got all the visitors' fans around us. And about 3 or 4 fights break out, and everybody's fighting around us, and we're just sitting there just trying to be us. And she knew me way, way, way back in the day, but she didn't know me during my time of all the stuff that I was doing. But I still asked her, I said, I bet you that used to be me, didn't it? And she said, yep, that used to be me. That was humbling for me to sit there and see other people doing what they were doing. And I think that's the worst thing in the world. But I think I invented it. I think I'm the master of it. It's humbling. When I can't help myself, I need to call on him. We talk about it, CR, 2's better than 1. You need an accountability partner. You need somebody to pick you up when you fall down. You cannot do it alone. Too many people have walked through these doors thinking that they could fix themselves, and then they end up walking away and we don't see them again. Sometimes down the road, they'll waver on back in and we'll welcome them back in. But too many people try to do it on their own. You can't do that. You need God in your life. As long as God is the other person, he will put somebody in your life. The next one is, you need to be able to relate with others with empathy. Individuals who have experienced pain, suffering, and failure can better understand and comfort others going through similar struggles. Their personal testimony of redemption and healing becomes a powerful tool to share hope and minister to a broken world. When I first got out of prison, I went to AA meetings and NA meetings and was doing what I was supposed to do. And there was just no way I was going to stay clean if I had somebody that thought they were perfect, that didn't have a drinking problem, running that group. They couldn't do it. We couldn't have somebody run CR who thinks they got no problems, but they're just here to help you. By the way, that's how I was when I first started CR. I got a wake-up call really quick. I got a lot of problems. And drinking and drugging ain't one of them. There's a whole lot of other stuff. But you can't have somebody that doesn't understand it. You need somebody that can empathy with you. You need somebody that can side with you, can say, I know what you're going through. Let me just love on you. Some of the things we talk about are horrendous. We talk about pornography. We talk about people being abused as children, sexually and physically, mentally. We talk about some tough stuff. They're not going to share that with just anybody that just walks in and thinks they can run a group. It's got to be somebody that's been there, that's done that, so they can minister to them, so they can explain to them how they did it and give them some tools so they could do it. That's what we're all about, giving people tools so you can work on yourself. Next one is God qualifies the called. The world often dismisses people based on their past mistakes or inadequacies, but God is not hindered by these. He chooses the unlikely and equips them for his purposes, demonstrating that no one is beyond his reach or redemption. So I've been out of prison. Well, I got arrested in June 8th, 2006, 19 years ago. Right before we started CR, I was talking to my wife about really needing a good full-time job, you know, so I could help support the family. 12 years clean and sober, 12 years since my felony. 12 years. Most applications say after 7 years, they don't look at them anymore. Well, I go to Walmart to try to get a job and got denied. Still being judged by my past. God said, that's okay. I got something for you better. I got something better that you can do. I won't judge you for your past. I'm going to take your past and I'm going to turn it into a message for other people to have. That's what we're going to do, Mike. Forget Walmart. Come on with me. Follow me. Then the last one is, messy backstories become powerful messages. God is a restorer. He could take a messy backstory and transform it into a powerful message of his grace and ability to redeem any part of a person's life for a new purpose. Like I said earlier, I've heard countless and countless and countless testimonies of people that were broken that had come in here looking for somebody to freely give them what was freely given to them so they can in turn freely give it to somebody else. It's like a simile line. I get through the 12 steps, so I'm going to freely give it to you. When you get through the 12 steps, you're going to freely give it to somebody else, and we're just going to continue the cycle. But we turn those backstories into powerful messages. There's times in my life where I sit here and think, you know what, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. I actually, when they hired me, told them they only have 10 years. So 2 more years, I'm supposed to be retiring, but that's probably not going to happen. Probably drag me back in. It's been a joke. Now it's getting serious. It's getting close. But sometimes I ask my wife, is this what I really want to do? You know, I had a dream one time to open a restaurant because I was a cook for a while. I had a dream of opening a restaurant and hiring felons so they could try to get their life back on track and minister to them while we worked. That was my dream. I thought maybe that's where I needed to be. I thought maybe this isn't really what I want. Maybe I want to go do that. It was a dream of mine. I put it on back hold. Now it's back in my head, and, you know, maybe I want to do it. And then I come in here on a Wednesday night, and I hear somebody give their story. And I sit right there in the front row, my wife right beside me, every time. And I turn around, I look at her. She says, I know, that's why we do it. I know, that's why we do it. Because we've seen people come in at their rock bottom. And when I say rock bottom, I don't mean, oh, I drank for a couple weeks, I need to get on, you know, I need to stop drinking. I think I hit my rock bottom. No, I'm talking about people that are at their rock bottom. And we've seen them come in and transform their lives and then turn around and help transform somebody else's life. I'm running out of time. I would love for y'all to one time go back and read Acts chapter 9. There's three miracles in that story of Paul, Peter, and Tabitha that just shows why broken people are the ones that need to help broken people and why God's asking for you to have his heart to be able to do that. So as you go today, somebody might call you up this afternoon. Somebody might ask you for a favor. Somebody might ask you for something. Serve. Be God's hands and feet. Do what needs to be done. You're ministering to people and you don't even know you're doing it. That's the crazy thing. Wait till you figure out you're ministering to people, then you really get excited. Let us pray. Lord, I just thank you for the day. I thank you for just allowing us to do your ministry, God. We just, you give us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to help people. We love what we do. We enjoy it. We love to see the fruits in the labor of what we do, but you get all the glory, God. You get all the praise. It's your strength how we can come out of our weakness. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for your son. In his name, amen.